Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Stonewall. Today I'm going to be on the No Science Show. Hey, you all don't want to miss this episode. Feel free to tune in and make sure you all get some valuable insights on my journey. Tune in.
Yeah, you better listen. It's going to be good.
Hello, welcome to the Dope Science Show with Stephanie Lowe, a.k.a. Science Stuff with Steph. Thank you for your ears and minds. I hope that the show sparks new ideas, new opportunities, and conversations. I want us to learn and grow. We are all curious, innovative, and experimental in our daily lives. We are all dope scientists.
Hello, you guys. Welcome to the Dope Science Show. This is Steph, a.k.a. Science Steph with Steph. I am so excited. First of all, it's Friday, so that means we're already on a good page. And it doesn't take much for me to be happy on a Friday. But I also have a dope guest. His name is Kevin Stonewall, and he's kind of amazing. Thank you so much, Kevin, for coming on the show. Hey.
Hey, Stephanie, how's it going? Thank you for bringing me on the show. Like you said, it's Friday, so I cannot complain. And, of course, I'm always down to help and just see what we can do from here. So thanks for bringing me in.
Awesome. Yes, yes, yes. I was so happy that you wanted to talk with me because I remember when I first saw your profile on Instagram, I saw, like, this meme or story someone shared about your research leading to a way for a cure for colon cancer. And I was like, wait a minute, this kid from Chicago is like breakthrough in cancer research? And I was like, I want to know so much more, but I wasn't ready to like book guests yet, so I just stalked your Instagram for a bit. and then you were like, hey, I want to be on your show. And I was like, oh, yes, yes, let's do this.
Yeah.
So here we are.
I know, right? funny thing. I actually, I heard about your podcast. Actually, I've been following your page. I don't know if I had a follow back, but I know I used to like go on your page a lot and look at the stuff you were doing. But one day when I did reach out to you, I'm like, I'm gonna just follow her. So I guess we both been stalking each other for some time. But it's kind of funny. But we're here today, though.
Yes, yes. And for you guys to know, Kevin. He has a cool bio. He is a TEDx speaker, a health advocate, a personal branding coach, motivational speaker, a cancer research scientist, and most excitingly, he just got accepted into medical school. So what? I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. No, it's going to be a good time.
Yes, yes. And it always sounds like really amazing when people have these wonderful accomplishments, but it's like, how can we relate to you? What would you say? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, what do you think makes you stand out individually beyond like all your credentials? What do you think about yourself in that regard?
I think one thing, well, just for a little bit of background for the listener. So like once you say, I'm Kevin. Kevin Stonewall. I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago. Like I said, I'm a scientist, personal brand coach, speaker, and now incoming medical student. But you know, beside all of that, I think one thing that makes me unique is balance is key for me. And I think sometimes people might, when they hear me say that, they're just like, oh, really? Because you do all of these things. But I think the reason why I'm sometimes able to do a lot of things is because I understand how important balance is, and I only give a certain amount of time to certain things. And for that, I think that's how I can get the most out of my life. So even like outside of like the work I do, I love to bike. I was just biking this morning for like an hour and a half. I like to play basketball. I was just seeing Jurassic Park last night. listened to the new Drake album that he just dropped. So, I mean, besides that, you know, I'm a pretty normal guy, and I think for me it is important, and I recognize how important it was. Because at some point in my life, you know, I think I was working way too hard and not enough play, and I seen the negative feedback from that. So, as a result, it forced me to kind of do some reflection and fit in, like, actually being a, you know, holistic human being. So, I think that's what makes me a little unique, and I recognize that, and I'm able to adapt to it as a result.
That's awesome. It's so cool that you said balance. That's something I'm always, like, working on. And maybe it's something that never ends, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you feel yourself go one way, right? Because you have to have, like, intense focus when you have big goals, right? And then you it's like you feel the shift, internal shift, and it's like, well, I need to do something fun too, or I need to do the biking. You mentioned that at one point you were all work, like just focus, and it was not necessarily good for your overall well-being. Like, can you share that a little bit with us, like what that was like for you and what was the turning point when you felt like you needed to like make a change?
Yeah, definitely. So I never really told too many people this. So it was my freshman year of college, and I was just coming into college. I was just like, all right, I got to start off really strong. I did good in high school. Like, I have to do perfect in college because I have to be the perfect medical school applicant. So, I mean, for those people who might not know, you know, you might know a lot of, like, pre-med students who might sound like that. I was one of those people my freshman year, not after, but really my first semester, and I was, like, almost pulling all-nighters 5 nights in a row. It was really ridiculous. It was an unhealthy amount of time, and I crashed, and I, like, ended up missing, like, the whole day of classes, and I did that twice during the semester, and it got to the point where I started getting sick, and my teachers told me if I missed one more class, then I would have to drop a whole letter grade regardless of how well I did in the class because of attendance policies. And at that point, it really struck me like, yo, I need to balance this out. Like, I need to really get some sleep. I need to make time to do other things, and I need to start being more effective with my time. Because I'll have to go back, and I was looking at it, and I was looking like, why am I studying for like 15 hours? Oh, I'm going studying until 5 in the morning. This is so ineffective, and I know I have to wake up at 8. So I just started, I mean, honestly, that was the point when I'm like, yo, I need to do something a little bit different. And that's when I started like writing out things I need to do for my day, to-do list, and doing my highest priority thing, number one. Then the bottom of the to-do list is just like miscellaneous item thing that can get done like regardless of the week or the day, but just things I should probably do. So I think that experience definitely was an eye-opener for me.
That's really helpful. It's so cool that you discovered that your freshman year. I think I'm still working on it. I've gotten much better, but I definitely was not at that point my freshman year. That makes me think, like, why did you feel so driven? Is it because you were from the south side of Chicago and you felt like you needed to prove something? Like, why did you feel you had to go so hard? A lot of people go into their freshman year and they're just like, I'm here for the parties and I'm here for school, you know, but it's not so driven.
You know, I think it really was a mindset thing. I think from so it actually speaks a lot about my story too, to be honest. And when I first started doing cancer research, I was 17 at the time. And before that point, I had no confidence in myself. I had the lowest self-esteem, and I was I'm a different person than I am today. And I'm sure we're going to talk about this later throughout this session, but just to give some background.
Talk freely.
Okay, absolutely. Cool. So like throughout high school, I was always, I was never like counted as one of like the smart people in my school. Nobody really appreciated the stuff I was doing. Like, nobody really thought of me. Not many people thought too highly of me. And unfortunately, I didn't think too highly of myself either. And that stuff, that energy, that really carried throughout high school. Like, I tried to do the science fair. I never made it out. I tried to be, like, the top of my class. Like, that never worked. It was just all these different things that I was just real hard on myself. But it wasn't until my junior year of high school, and I knew I had a friend whose uncle passed away from cancer. I really wanted to get involved with cancer research. So I reached out to about 200 or so lab professors, and I told them, like, hey, I'm a 17-year-old high school junior. I want to do cancer research. And I had, like, a lot of people tell me no. Only one person told me, yeah, and it was Dr. Ruby at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. And basically, at that point, that's when everything changed. So I realized, like, oh, I'm capable of doing this. I ended up doing, you know, a pretty good project. I used the beginning of my research as my science fair project, and everything started to, like, go the other way. Like, people started to respect me because of they seen like my research was going to like all these highest level science fairs. But all of that to say, it was such a flip in my it was just a flip in my grind where I was like coming into college, I was like, I need to keep this up because I realized what my potential can be. And because of that, I wanted to just go so hard, and I wanted to like be the best me, because I was 17. It was right before my senior year of high school, and I realized I was going hard in high school, and it helped me get scholarships for college. And at that point, I'm like, if I keep working hard, anything that I want can happen. And that's the right mindset to have. But for me, being young, so young at 17, having that mindset, I didn't think about balance. I just thought about all work, no play. So in my freshman year of college, it was the same mindset. I'm like, I'm going to start. Like, I know, because before college that summer, I did a pre-medical program at the University of Chicago, and pretty much they was just telling us, like, how do you be a good med school applicant? How can you position yourself to be the most competitive applicant before you even get to college? And, you know, I just did that before my freshman year of college. So I have all these resources in my hand. I'm just like, I'm going to make it happen. Like, I have the mindset now. I believe in myself. I can do it. And that's why I was, like, going so hard. But once again, college was different than high school. And then I realized that balance was key. And that's how, like, balance for me really played its part. So even now, like you were saying, like, balance, it's hard. Like, even now, I probably have I have an easier time balancing than I did then. But it's always, you know, as we grow in our profession, like, we get more and more stuff on our plate. And unfortunately, the reality is we can't do everything. So sometimes it's important to do what we feel is most important at the moment and then kind of move from there.
Yeah. That's great. That's really insightful. And I think we can all relate, or at least I can, to not feeling, you know, secure about yourself in high school or growing up because maybe you're different or whatever the reason is. And then feeling like when you found that thing you're good at, you're like, that's my thing. You know, like, that becomes like your cloak of, like, of armor, like, yeah, and you build your self-esteem based on that thing, you know?
Yep. That was perfectly said, to be honest.
You know, it builds your self-esteem on that thing, and then when you become burnt out, for some people, that could really hold them back, but it sounds like, for you, you recognize that working on being balanced and being a whole person was another tool, you know, not some sort of less effort or some sort of step back, more like another tool for what you're trying to do, you know?
Exactly. That's perfectly said. And yeah, like I said, like you were saying, like, it's constantly evolving. Another thing is one of the things, like, you have to be really intentional with being balanced. Like, you can't just say, hey, I want to be balanced. But you have to do deliberate effort. So that'd be, like, doing something tangible, like writing on your refrigerator or writing it on a piece of paper, like writing what you want. And most of the time when we write things, science is, too, like, we're able to actually follow through with it. And it feels good when you can cross something off your checklist. I don't know. I just feel like you have to be very deliberate. And that's the thing I tell everybody, regardless of, like, what industry you're in, at the end of the day, we're all still humans, and we all have different self-esteem, different levels of self-esteem. We still have desire in life, but all of that, it can be tangent upon, like, the balance and everything. So hopefully this is, like, being valuable to you all, and you all can take this and apply it to any aspect of your life that you feel needs balance.
Exactly. Are people surprised when you tell them you're a scientist?
I get that a lot of time. So the thing is, I guess because most people, they probably look at me, I don't look like your traditional scientist or a person who wants to be a doctor. And especially when I came to college, because the environment of my college is a little bit different from the south side of Chicago. So you can imagine my freshman year, we were getting to know everybody. I told them, hey, they asked me, where am I from? I said, I'm from Chicago. They're like, oh, what's up there? I'm like, no, I'm actually from the city. And everybody, oh,
yeah.
Really? And they're like, oh, where from in the city? Are you from, like, up north? And, like, up north is generally, like, the quote-unquote safer part. But I'm like, no, I'm actually from the south side of the city. And then their whole face, like, turned upside down. I'm like, oh, okay. And like, oh, what are you doing here? I'm like, oh, I'm a bio major. I do cancer research, and they're like, oh, wow, that's cool. Like, it's those type of things. I got a lot of those a lot. Also, at first I took a little offense to it, but that was my freshman year because I didn't really experience something like that ever. But, you know, at the end of the day, I was just like, you know, I can't let those things get to me. It's just like everybody had different life experiences, and, you know, they only know what they are exposed to. And I took that as a way of paving the way. Like, instead of complaining about it, I could show them that there's more people like me who are doing the same thing, exactly where I'm from. Might not be Chicago. It could be a different city. It could be L.A. It could be Atlanta. It could be Detroit. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not an anomaly. I want to be that example, you know.
Yeah, you just want to be yourself. You know, do you find yourself code switching at all when you're, like, at school, like, with your professors? Do you feel like you have to do that?
I think at certain times I might catch myself code switching sometimes, and I think it's more of a thing where I want to make sure what I'm trying to communicate is being is tapping into their brain, because I know if I have a different dialect, I know it's not going to be communicative to the way that they talk. So I think that's why, like, I think code switching, honestly, I think it's a good skill to have, and that's my opinion. So I think it helps you relate to a lot more people. And I think how you use code switching and your intentionality behind it is really up for discussion as well. I know some people who feel like, oh, I shouldn't have to change the way I talk in order to communicate with someone. And I definitely see that point. But also think of it as, you know, think about yourself like bilingual. Like, you have two different languages, and being able to, you know, just fit it in where, and as long as the message get communicated, you know, as long as the message get through, I feel like that's the best part. And of course, you know, as more I get closer to different professors or different people, I think naturally, just the more my the kind of get a little more looser. But like starting up front, I just want to make sure that stuff is being communicated really forward. And eventually, and it's who I am. Like, I'm not doing this on purpose. I guess it's like automatic at this point. So.
Yeah, I feel that way too. Like, I feel like it's just a form of communication. It's not a strain for me. You know, it just feels natural. Like, if I was in Mexico or another place, like, you try to, you know, relate to the people you're talking to. And you might even pick up an accent if you're, like, in another environment. That's kind of how I see it, too. Like, it does feel good to not have to code switch. It feels, like, warm and familiar. But when you do it, for me, it's not conscious. I just, like, do it, you know, based on who I'm around. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, I was in Chicago. I just got back this week, and I stayed in the South Side.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it
what
was
part?
Nice. everybody kept asking me, where are you staying? I was like, somewhere in the South Side.
How <Howdy. laughs>
And the Uber drivers were so, like, weird, like, all scared, like, I'm going to drop you off right here, okay? And I'm like, okay. And I'm, like, asking them questions about the city, and they're like, I don't come here. We don't come here. I was like, okay, that's fine. But where I stayed was beautiful. It was this Airbnb, like a townhouse. This guy owns two homes side by side, and he had like a beautiful backyard. He had a garden in the front, a garden in the back. It was like one house was his parents that he inherited, and the other was another one that he had bought. And instead of like selling, he's Airbnb-ing. And like he's helping one neighbor do the same thing, this like older lady. And it was off of Wentworth. It was on Wentworth. It was near, like, the train station. I'm not exactly sure where that is.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Do you know what number street it possibly was on?
Oh, I'm dyslexic, so no, I can't remember. can't remember. But it was nice. I mean, I'm not saying that everything was, like, pristine, but it made me feel good to be there. It was in a, you know, black-owned, it was South Side of Chicago. Everyone was so friendly, and it was just nice. I enjoyed it, you know.
I agree.
But
and that's one. You can go.
Go ahead. Oh, no, go ahead.
And I was saying, like, that's one thing I do love about, like, the South Side of Chicago, despite whatever you might see in the news or whatever. I feel like, well, one is, I think, like, Chicago in general, but I can even speak from my experiences, like, growing up on the South Side. There's, like, a sense of family. And, like, even if, you know, sometimes people, we have these different ways. Some people are like, oh, you have Black Chicago, and you might have the rest of Chicago. And I guess it's kind of true. It depends on the lens and the way you probably grew up. But I think even then, like, I think it's something special about, like, that family. You said everybody was friendly, and I think that really speaks to, like, my experience. So, for me, a lot of time, like, yeah, I know, like, not every, you know, I know there are some, like, bad areas, quote unquote, but I feel like there's bad areas everywhere. And I just think that, you know, sometimes I just love being around like people that I grew up with. Everybody's friendly, it's family, it's communal. You got the same traditions. You got like this parade on. It's like its own. It's just like any other place. But it's like at the end of the day, it's like it's somebody home. And you know, because it's somebody home, like that's where they're gonna feel most comfortable. And you know, I love the South. So I never play it down a day in my life. Like that's why I always rep it so hard, because it's a big part of who I am today. You know.
That's awesome. I loved it. I saw other parts of Chicago. I was there very, very short, for only like 3 days or 2.5 days or something, maybe 3 days. But it was nice, and everyone in Chicago was nice. Like, I only had really great experiences. I was like, I didn't know Chicago was going to be like this. I didn't know everyone was going to be nice, and the weather was perfect. Like, I didn't know it was going to be just like this amazing experience. So I'm a huge fan of Chicago now. Like,
hey, perfect. We got you.
Yeah, you got me. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know it was going to be like this. So I am still excited about it. One thing that I missed, I didn't really eat food in Chicago. Like, I didn't eat like Chicago specific food because I was so busy running around. And so if someone was to go to Chicago, where would you recommend? What would be the one place if you were to leave town? You know, like, where should I have gone? I was asking everyone this.
Okay. So I know you want one answer, but I'm going to give you two.
That's okay.
I'm going to tell you. Okay, so Harris Chicken. Have you ever heard of Harris Chicken?
Everyone's told me that. I didn't make it. I didn't make it there. Darn it.
Yeah, you want to eat Harold. That stuff is fire. And two, if you have like a general Chicagoan, then you'll probably get like a Giordano's.
Is that like, what's that? What do they serve there?
Pizza.
Oh, the deep dish?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's good, though. Yeah.
It's good. That's the one Chicago thing I did eat, deep dish pizza.
Oh, okay.
And it was really good. It was not like it was here. Like here, it's like all bread, and they're like, it's deep dish. But in Chicago, it's like stuff just like layers. It's not just like bread. And it was so good. But what they don't tell you, and which I didn't know, because I was freaking starving by the time I got it, because we went after the show, it takes an hour to cook. I was like, if only I had known that. I was just starving.
Oh, yeah. No, it do take a while to cook, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are exactly right.
People should tell you that when they're like, oh, yeah, get some. It's not like regular pizza place. We're like, okay. It's like, wait, no, you're going to sit down.
Yeah, it do take a while.
But it's worth it. So worth it. What would you say, you mentioned that you got into science because of your friend's uncle. Can you tell us a little bit more about that story? What was the turning point that really made you think, science is like my thing?
So before my friend died, so like I guess I've always been into science in some manner. If you ask my mom, she'll tell you that I was playing in the backyard, playing with bugs in the dirt back in the day. I don't recall it, but they have video footage of it. They got the receipt. So, but my freshman year of high school, it was me, right? And I was watching my friend. Like, we was good friends. I noticed he stopped going to school. I noticed that he wasn't doing that well academically anymore. And then I reached out to him. I'm like, hey, you know, what's going on? Is everything okay? And he told me that actually his uncle passed away from cancer. And at 14, to be honest, I really didn't know too much about cancer. You know, I heard of it. You know, you hear about it in those, like, commercials. You might hear about it at a family reunion. But to actually understand, like, the actual mechanism behind it and understand, like, the way it impacts people, that was something new to me. So I'm like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And what did I do at 14? I went straight to Google. So here's a pro tip for anybody, you know, of course, in a mature audience, you all probably know this, but for anybody who might be of the younger generation, if you have any questions, just Google it. And that's why we have the tool there, because we have the access right there, so might as well take advantage of it. Then I learned about what cancer was. Then the next question that I typed in Google was, how can I stop cancer? Then I seen different options to, you know, donate to a different advocacy groups, or then I seen the option of actually doing research in a laboratory. And for me, I was always the type, I wanted to get my hands dirty. I love answering questions. I love asking who, what, when, where, why this stuff is happening. And I felt like for me, that resonated. So at that point, I'm like, all right, at some point in high school, I'm going to do cancer research, because I really want, like, I seen the impact that cancer had on my friend, and he wasn't even the one being who had the cancer. So I can only imagine what happened to millions of other people around the world.
And wow. So when you do that and you reached out to all these labs, mm-hmm. like, what was that like? What was, like, the first day once you got accepted into a lab? Like, what was that like for you?
I was excited, to be honest. Because it was actually one of the last emails that I did send out of, like, the hundreds of emails that I sent out. And I was in April. I don't even remember the date, but it was in the spring, though, that I remember I got that email. I was so excited. I was like, I can work in a lab. Like, I was so excited. I remember my first day that I went into the lab. I came in there. I thought I was Mr. Fly Guy. I was just like, hey, I'm about to do cancer research. And I think it's cool, though. Like, that moment for me was real cool. I think there's something special about that moment. I'm having, like, this guy from Southside Chicago was so excited to go into doing cancer research in a laboratory. And and it was so cool. But I realized at that point, like, I wasn't going to go straight in doing the research. I had to do a lot of reading and then learning how to do different techniques. And then I started to, like, develop an idea for what I wanted to research. And then I went from there.
So can you tell us a little bit about your research?
Mm-hmm. So when I first started at Rush, I worked on, to start with, colon cancer. And what I was really understanding, how does aging play a role with increasing anti-tumor response when different mice are faced with a tumor vaccine based on a chemotherapeutic agent called minoxantrone? And the reason why minoxantrone was the agent in this particular experiment, because in a journal that I read, it induced cellular death and promoted a healthy immune response. Those are the big two components that supports the idea of cancer immunotherapy. And that's what all of my research studies fall under. And under that, because of that, I was something that I was really interested in. And I just asked my PI, when PI is principal investigator. So that's the guy who's over the whole entire lab. I brought the idea to him. And one thing I do appreciate about Dr. Ruby, he always told me, hey, Kevin, there's no such thing as a silly question. Whatever you want to, you know, if you want to find out something, go for it. And honestly, having that type of, like, mentorship, that's what helped me go into this research even more. And that's how everything kind of went from flourishes. And some of my results of the experiment, 100% of those in younger mice did, in fact, survive the tumor vaccine. So basically, this means that the first day of experimentation, I injected the left flank of the mice with the tumor vaccine. And then a week later, I challenged those same group of mice with the colon cancer. And for now, I started tracking different clinical scales, different clinical scores, survival rates. And for those mice in my one group, their tumor went up and it went away. So they did not have the cancer anymore. Then I did some more blood work to make sure there wasn't any cancer presented as well. And everything was shown that the cancer went away.
Wow. Why did it go away? What was the, like, the determining factor, you think?
I definitely think it was I know it was a chemotherapeutic agent, minoxantrone, because the component of that, when it induces cellular death, so that it brings that stuff down and also promotes, so it increases immune rates for our body. So our body, we generally produce antibodies in order to fight off different antigens that are presented in our body. So because of that vaccine, it increased that. And that's why we really just challenged the mice with, like, a little bit of the cancer on day one, so the body can start building an immune response. So when they see the real cancer, then they'll know how to respond to it, and they will be familiar with those proteins on the surface of the colon cancer cells.
Why does a virus work for, like, cancer? Is cancer related to viruses at all?
Yeah, no, it is. So if we talk about, like, retroviruses, and this is, like, going on a different topic, but a lot of times viruses can actually throw off, normal metabolic processes, and also also throw off natural processes as well. So that's actually one study that shows a correlation between an increase of viruses and also an increase in cellular proliferation. Most times, cellular proliferation is correlated with cancer because the cancer cells are continuing to grow and to grow and to grow. So, and like in our case, once again, our vaccine was really about like using the colon cancer cell and having the chemotherapeutic agent and using that as our vaccine. But definitely there's an increased correlation of retroviruses to say and cancer rates as well.
Based on your research, did you feel like the vaccine was more effective in younger mice versus older mice? And if so, like, was it middle-aged mice? Is there, like, any sort of, like, relationship between that? Like, what's the cutoff rate, would you say?
So right now with that one, the younger mice definitely show better improvements than the older mice. 100% with the younger, and it was roughly 25% with the older group. So that was something to actually think about for me as a researcher, because I looked at that and I'm like, So I started to consult with Dr. Ruby. I'm like, well, I know, and it was funny because I had predicted the other way around. But I think one thing I did draw from that experiment was really understanding how important colon cancer does impact younger people as well. Because when those same mice, both groups, when they were developing the cancer, it was pretty bad at first. It was, both of them was relatively bad. And once again, like for the younger group, it did go away, but for the older, kept growing and it kept growing for like the other 75% that didn't make it through the treatment. So I think for me, it was really important because it brought me into more like a clinical application of this research. And now the reason why, for example, why I go to like different colon cancer advocacy groups now, because I understood that, well, I understand that not only colon cancer impacts older people, which it does, and now it impacts younger people as well. I know recently the American Cancer Society announced that the screening age has been brought down to 45. I believe it was previously 55. Those are just like a lot of things to support the fact that the rates of colon cancer are actually getting higher for younger groups of people. So that's why I think like that's how, for me, that's like the full circle of my research.
Do you think that, why are we getting colon cancer? Is it something, like, this is a thought that comes to mind and I'm just speculating. Do you think, or what do you think about the idea that it's becoming more common in younger people? A, because we're testing more. B, because our diet is affecting like our our gut bacteria, and maybe that's affecting our immune system that makes you more susceptible to like infections and then possibly getting colon cancer. Like, why?
Yeah, well, in my opinion, I like that. That's what I believe in my opinion. I do think it's more of a diet thing. I'd also think the way we are able to detect it is, I think it's two things. So one, there are not enough people getting screened. So some people, they get screening at like 50 and they didn't realize they had the cancer since they were 30. So that's one aspect of it. And I met like a number of people that said, man, I wish I would have just went back and did it when I was in my 20s or in my 30s. Because most time, once again, we don't think about that. Nobody's ever telling you to get a colon cancer screening at like 20s and 30s. Like for me, I'm getting ready to do my colonoscopy because I feel like that's important. Like I'm only 23, but I'm a man of my word. Like if I'm researching this, I also want to be someone who's also getting tested for it as well. And you don't have to just do a colonoscopy. You can get your blood drawn. There's so many different like new innovations that's out here nowadays to do this. But I think that's one aspect. I think we're able to detect it earlier, but I don't think there's enough people going in earlier to get tested. But then also to that point, I do think that diet plays a big role. I just think the increase of like fast food consumption, and that's my personal opinion. I do think that in some way plays a big part into like colon cancer, but also like cancer in general, like in epigenetic, like the genetics of the environment as well. I mean, it's such a complicated question because in a way it impacts so many different groups of people differently, where it's hard to give like one general answer. that can fit everybody, because the thing is, not everybody, or not everybody's population is being affected evenly from this disease.
What population is affected the most by colon cancer, at least in the U.S.?
Yeah, so I would say, like, older African Americans, they are up there. And for me, like, as somebody, you know, from this population, I'm not an older African American, but definitely somebody who, like, grew up and I've seen, you know, like, older people have, like, colon cancer. I think personally it's a diet, and that's what makes me think it was a diet thing, because I, you know, look at some of the diets in comparison to other ethnic groups, and sometimes we are, we have those high sodium foods and things of that stuff that can actually, like, put our body at a disadvantage. It can cause our body to stop functioning properly. It can, you know, cause our body to not have the highest amount of white blood cells that can fight off, you know, or create an immune response, and it can cause a hypertension, you know, things of that sort. And so as a result, I do think right now it's diet. That's been my main thing for, like, the past 2-3 years, and because I see it constantly, and I've seen, I read an article one that talked about that they had a correlate to consumption, actually, of sodium enriched foods and the correlation to colon cancer, and they said it was a positive correlation.
You said there was a strong correlation?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's kind of like common sense. What we, you know, the whole "you are what you eat" thing.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
wow.
It's so true. I would. So if I wanted to go get a colon cancer screening, like, what's the easiest, least scary thing I could do? Like, if I was scared, and what would be the least invasive, like, screening I could, like, ask for?
Okay. So I have to say this since I feel like it's right to say it for ethic purposes. I'm not a physician at all, so I can't I can see some ideals. I have to put out, especially the medical student. You know, but yeah. but I'm aware, and I will say that, like, I'm aware of the colonoscopy. And I'm also aware of different stool testings. And I know there's a company called Exact Sciences where they actually have a way for you to detect colon cancer. And they'll send you a box, and they'll collect a stool sample from you. And from there, they'll look at the different protein levels. And they look at all the science stuff and pretty much let you know if you have colon cancer or not. That's one way. And then the second way that I'm aware of is doing colonoscopy as well. And they go through your colon and rectum, and they look at rectum, and they look for different polyps. And hopefully, like, the ideal is you want to get the polyps before they become cancerous. And often, a lot of times, when people get them done early enough, once those polyps are removed, you're stopping it before it becomes cancerous, and you're not going to get colon cancer. Or the chance of getting colon cancer is decreased.
Wow. I hope everyone does that, you guys. I'm going to put in the show links, like, just some resources. I'll Google as well, and I think we should all go do that. I mean,
yes.
Never too early. I mean, you're going to do it in your 20s, so I can definitely do it in my 30s.
Might as well. Might as
well. Might as well.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
If you have it, then, you know, and I know it's a scary thing. You know, it's kind of, and I understand, like, it's not easy to, like, especially if you don't want to take that risk of finding that type of news out. But also, I think about it like that. The sooner you can catch it, the better your life will be. And got to think about it like that.
Yeah, like, it's preventative, right? In a way.
Exactly. They say the best way to fight cancer is to prevent it from happening at all. So.
Yeah. So is this what you're excited about? Like, is this what you plan to pursue in the near future? I know that you have this amazing news about what you're doing next. Can you tell the audience a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I'm actually getting ready to go to medical school in July. So I'll be going to Loyola University Stritch School of Medicine back in my hometown in Chicago. So I'm definitely excited for that. And I think, like, it's crazy. Like, this dream is actually becoming a reality, because it's honestly been my dream for a very long time. And basically, when I decided that day that, like, yeah, I'm ready to take that next step to med school. It's been a whole process, and, oh, man, it feels good, though, to be honest. Like, I'm really excited to now. And I think, like, for me, the research I've been doing so far in my life it gave me the good insight, and they gave me a good insight into, like, science, but science is only one aspect of medicine. I think medicine, you touch on a lot more, other issues as well that I'm also, like, wanting to learn about, like, human interactions and, also, like, thinking about the political aspect that's associated with medicine and, like, different healthcare disparities. And for me, it's so cool because I'm using science as a way and combining it with, like, my passion to really, like, help people. And not know a lot of people say that, like, oh, I want to help people, that's why I want to be a doctor. But to truly, like, save someone's life and be in that type of position is rewarding, and it's an honor. And knowing that I'm serving, like, people, and I think it's fulfilling just knowing, like, I love this type of work, and it's had an opportunity, like, it's definitely a blessing. I'm just so thankful for it. So I'm excited. And then in regards to, like, what I will, go into, I tell a lot of people, like, I know what I've done in the past, but, they always say, everybody comes in thinking they're going to be one thing, you come out being a completely different thing. And that's the craziest part, even for myself, because I've been doing this work for some time, and I'm thinking, like, wow, what if I become something totally different? And which is why it's important to say this. Even if I'm not the one to cure cancer, as long as I played a role and as long as I, like, helped, and I think I did my due diligence for the amount of time I was doing this research. I learned a lot. I mean, it was amazing. Like, I'm a big cancer advocate now. Like, I'm forever going to be a cancer advocate because that's those things touch home for me. Like, that's the reason why I was interested in medicine on a higher level, because of my experiences with cancer. But even then, like, I'm also coming into this next chapter of my life with an open lens. I don't want to, like, put myself in a corner when I know there's, like, probably 30 to 40 different disciplines of medicine that I don't even know about. And who's to say that I still can't impact cancer in one profession, well, one discipline of medicine than another. There's so many new things, new fields of medicine being developed all the time. And I think that's, like, the best part I love about medicine. It's constantly evolving. And, I just want to kind of fill it out, see where I see myself going with that. So we're going to see, but I definitely, right now, like I said, I'm coming into school with an open lens, and I'm going to trust life and just kind of see where my heart takes me. And if it's end up being an oncologist, amazing. And if it's not, like, I'm still going to be a cancer advocate. Like, at the end of the day, like I said before, cancer research, being a cancer advocate, these are the things that got me into medicine. And I'm forever grateful for the people that invested into me. I'm forever grateful for the opportunities in life that I've been able to have because of my dedication to this cause.
That's awesome. And you use your platform too. I mean, I saw, like, all the events you're going to and just sharing information on just, I guess, public health, you know? You seem very involved with trying to inform people on, like, ways they can live healthy lives and resources that they can use for themselves. And so it's really amazing how one thing, a tragedy, with your friend, and then you taking the time to reach out and see how you could help him led you on this path, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy, to be honest. It's kind of crazy. Like, you never know why things happen in life, and, like, I'm a big believer in that. I really am. And I think, like, because of that, that made the biggest difference. Like, everything else was definitely, it helped along the journey, but, like, that first initial experience and, like, really, like, going to Google and typing in what is cancer, I think that took my whole interest into this stuff to a whole different level. And once again, like you were saying, like, that's why I love going around to different events to speak. Because for me, I just feel like I have to let people know about it, because there was no other way for me to find out unless I went to Google. There wasn't nobody there really telling me to get a colon cancer screening, or even, like, just telling me about all these different diseases that are highly preventative from the first place. Like, I should recall nobody ever telling me that. So for me, that's why, like, I want to take that initiative in doing that, and also, like, understanding the platform, having my platform, but also now being a doctor in training, now having those credentials to take that advocacy and platform to another level, it makes it a lot more. It feels good, to be honest, because I know that the dream, at the end of the day, I just want to make sure that people have the information to live a lifestyle that they choose to live. And part of that information could be mentorship, or part of that information can be health literacy. But as long as you give them the li you know, as long as you get to live that life as close as you can, I feel like I did my job.
Yeah, you did. Making the world a better place, you know? You're definitely doing
I'm
that.
trying. Thank you, thank you. I'm trying.
Yes, trying is all that matters. Like, if we try, we're going to make an impact, you know? And I say that a lot because growing up, you feel like you need to be good right away. You need to see the results right away. But as you go through life, you see that it's the every effort that matters. So even if you say, I try, actually trying matters. Like, it makes a big difference. So I always tell people, don't downgrade trying. You know, it's very effective.
Yeah, you
So
gotta give it a try. It's better
you
than
gotta
doing
give it
nothing.
a try. So where can people find you if they want to stalk you online,
Yep. So if you all
right?
wanna follow me, follow my journey and this next step, and I mean, definitely feel free because I'm definitely gonna now start sharing my journey. And I know I'd be busy with school and whatnot, but I also wanna share different aspects of what I'm going through, and definitely continue to share health information with you all. So I'll be sharing, once again, sharing health information, but also now sharing my medical school journey, and just telling, updating you all on different points of my life. To follow my journey on Twitter and Instagram, follow me at THATKEVENGUY. So that Kevin guy. So the reason I spelled it out, guys, is because I know my name, Kevin, is spelled a little bit differently. So I just want
Oh,
to make sure
yes.
you all have the right information. So now feel free to follow me on my journey. Ask me any questions. I always try my best to get back to everyone because at the end of the day, I'm really about making those personal connections and really get to hear and know your story because I feel like we all have a unique story that's worth being told. So.
That is so true. And I'll put his info in the show notes as well, because it's going to be a good journey, and maybe it'll inspire you, and maybe you'll inspire someone else by sharing Kevin's story. So Kevin, we do this thing where you pick the soundtrack for the episode. So can you give me a one song that you like to be for the soundtrack for your show?
Okay, we're gonna go. I'm gonna be cliche. I'm gonna go with Drake, God's Plan.
What? It again.
gonna go with Drake, God's Plan.
Oh
You heard
yes,
that
I
one
love that
before?
song.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I love
Yeah,
that
that's.
song. And have you seen the video?
Yeah, I love it. That was a really dope video.
I know. I had heard the song for months, and then I finally sat down and watched the video, and I was like, I can't believe it. Like, how much happiness he was giving people, and just he was so happy to do it. Everyone was so pleasantly surprised. I was like crying. I was like, look at that. That's so beautiful. It was
Yeah,
really
Drake,
great.
he doing his thing. He having a good year. He doing his thing.
Yeah, I'm a Drake fan, even though everyone was like loving the hate he got with Pusha T.
Oh,
I was just like, I don't care. Like,
yeah.
I'm like,
I
Drake
know,
is
right?
awesome.
You're doing it. Have you
Yes.
listened to the new album yet?
Yeah, actually, in my
Oh,
office, it's on repeat, actually.
okay. What's your favorite track?
I keep asking everyone. I don't know which one it is, but there's this female or a woman rapper on there, and I'm not sure what song it is, but I'm trying to. I just heard it today, so I'll have to get back to you on that. But she's maybe it's the third or fourth song on the album. I'm not sure, but I'm always like, who is that lady? Because I really she stands out. She has like this old school like style. Do you know which song I'm talking about?
Not yet. I just listened to it probably about 30 minutes ago. So,
Yeah, me too. It's been 2 hours.
yeah. So we're still learning stuff.
That's awesome. All right, so the next thing you do is you do the intro for your show. So you're going to say your name, and you're on the Dope Science Show, and you're going to say something like, hey, you guys should listen to it, or whatever you want to say. So, for
Okay.
example, I would say, hey, this is Stephanie, aka Science Stuff with Steph, and I'm on the Dope Science Show, and you guys better lock it in and listen, or something like that.
Okay, I
I
got you. I got you. I got you.
don't know. All right,
All right.
you can do it.
Hey everybody, it's Kevin Stonewall. Today I'm going to be on the Dope Science Show. Hey, you all don't want to miss this episode. Feel free to tune in and make sure you all get some valuable insights on my journey. tune in.
Yeah, you better listen. It's going to be good.
I know. Listen, y'all. You heard it first.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate your time and everything you shared with everyone. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention or speak about that we didn't get a chance to cover?
I just throw this in here, and it really serves no purpose to my journey, but I think it's a message that I feel like it can resonate with people regardless of, like, if you're in science or not. And like, what I want to talk about is, you know, in life, just really listen to the inside of your heart. And I know sometimes it's hard when we have, like, different life circumstances. And, you know, but I truly am a big believer of following what your heart say. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to bring you the most happiness in life. You know, listen to it and just know that everybody's timeline is different. Just because, like, don't get into the, you know, the game of comparing yourself to someone else. I like this metaphor. Imagine you're driving on the expressway or the highway. You're not going to be looking on the side, looking at the cars, looking at how fancy their cars are, because at the end of the day you do that, then you're going to crash your car. And I want to bring that to, like, real life. Like, don't worry about what other people are doing, because at the end of the day you want to be the best you can be. You want to stay in your own lane. You want to make sure that you're able to drive to your destination. And that can only happen when you stand in your own lane and just really focusing on what you need to do to become a better individual. So, like I said, I don't know. I hope this really touches somebody, whoever listening today. But I just felt like it was somebody out there who should probably hear that. So,
thank you so much. I appreciate you, and good luck with school. And I can't wait to see everything. So show us pictures of the new apartment. Show us everything. I'm looking
Absolutely.
Forward to it.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing me on the show. This has been really cool. I'm happy we're able to. Really just make this happen. I know I've been kind of ghost lately.
Oh, it's all good.
I'm happy we made it happen. So, like, thanks again for bringing me on the show. I'm definitely honored, and this is really dope. No pun intended.
All right. Well, you have a good rest of your day, okay?
All right. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. All right.